In connection with our consideration of Lord's Day 50, let's turn in Holy Scripture to Psalm 73. Going to make reference in the sermon to Asaph, that's the psalmist here, Asaph's struggles when he looked at the ungodly and then what God brought Asaph to know about the ungodly too. So remember this psalm, as that's brought up later in the sermon, Psalm 73. This is the word of God. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Thus far we read, it's on the basis of that psalm and many other portions of Scripture that we have Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been going through the Lord's Prayer, trying to get some context. Look at this part of the prayer, but we want to see that in light of the rest of the prayer. And in particular, as we've been going through the petitions one by one, we've been trying to see the context of each petition. How does this connect to the other petitions that Jesus teaches us to make? I want to do that this morning briefly with this one too. What is the link between give us this day our daily bread and the rest of the petitions that Jesus teaches us to ask of God? Well, there are probably multiple connections between this one and the other petitions, but at least this one, the goal that we have with our daily bread is that we would be strengthened and able physically to glorify God's name and to live in His service in our life. The bread that I take into my body, even the clothes I put on and the shelter I have, those are not ends in themselves, as if, well, this is just tasty food, or this is good that I have a roof over my head, or that I have clothes to keep my body warm. But there's something very lofty there. And this petition that Jesus teaches us to make brings us to consider that lofty perspective. These things are ends in themselves, but even what we might think to be very mundane, ordinary details of this life, I must use to the glory of God's name. And the very bread I take into my body physically strengthens me to glorify His name, and that's what my life must all be about. We need strength, physical strength, derived from that physical bread to grow in our knowledge of God and glorify Him and order it and direct the whole of our life to the praise of His name. First petition, hallowed be thy name. We need the basic necessities of this life so that in that physical sense we might be able to submit to the King. Second petition, thy kingdom come. And we need these provisions of the body so that we might be obedient to God's will, even when that will requires of us something difficult in our life. Third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you can make that connection, even though we won't specifically now, you can make that connection from this petition to the ones that come after it in the Lord's Prayer too. Fact is, the physical strength that we derive from these things is important. And so, this is not an unimportant petition of the Lord's Prayer, but something essential. So we turn our attention to that under the theme, praying for our daily bread. Let's consider first the petition, and then the acknowledgement that we make, and then third, an implication that we can draw from what Jesus teaches us here. The petition, the acknowledgement, the implication. What I wanted to do is look at that, what Jesus teaches us to ask for here, and we're going to take that apart a little bit and look at the various words. I want to look at this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, from four different angles. Four different angles. And the first angle that we take toward this petition is what Jesus tells us to ask for. What? Bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Catechism spells that out when it says, That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. So when you ask for bread, that's what you're asking for, all the things necessary for the body. The body. Some people take these words of Jesus to mean that we're praying for spiritual bread. And so they say, when he says, give us this day our daily bread, they say he's referring to the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. And so this petition is of a very spiritual nature like that. Now, it might be understandable why someone would take that approach, because the Bible does have a lot to say about Jesus Christ, who's the bread of life. And we certainly do ask for spiritual things in our prayer. Nevertheless, those who say that about this petition are wrong. This is not a prayer regarding spiritual bread, but as the Catechism points out here, and correctly, the things of the body. We're talking about material, physical, earthly things in this petition. That's what we're asking for. Pointed this out before, but I think it bears repeating, that when we talk about earthly things in our prayers, we must not think of that as something unspiritual. As if, well, if someone talks about having a home and having food and clothing and so on, well, that's not a very good prayer. Shouldn't say that. Jesus teaches us to pray also for these earthly things. Necessary provisions for our body, too. You notice that Jesus teaches us to pray for bread. And that, of course, includes, not only, but it does include the loaf of bread that you might have on your counter, but not more than that either. Not cinnamon bread. Not bread with jam on top. If I may use a couple of examples, but just bread, that is, the basic necessities of this life and nothing more. And we may legitimately expand out from that loaf that might be sitting on the counter to the other basic necessities of this life for which we are taught to pray, like clothing, but again, not the most fashionable and expensive clothing that we can find in the department store, but just something to cover our bodies, basics. And we pray here for shelter, not the biggest home on the market and the most and latest architectural designs, but necessary home, basics. That's all that we're praying for here, bread. When Jesus teaches us to pray only for that, he realigns our thinking, doesn't he? And your thinking and mine too needs that constant realignment, because the world says, here are all of these things, all of these electronics, this big house, this luxurious car, this expensive clothing, and these are really the basic necessities of this life. And if you don't have a smartphone, and if you don't have internet access and cable, and you can go on down the list, you don't have the basic necessities. In other words, the world makes what is in reality wants to be needs. And I think that really bleeds into the church too, and it bleeds into our thinking and even into our prayer life, so that we sometimes ask for far more than what's basic. Can easily happen. Over against this whole greedy, materialistic mentality of the world, Jesus says, bread. That's it. I think a question sometimes comes up, especially in our society, when we go home this morning after church. I think most of us are going to have a pretty decent meal, and we're going to go home, even if we don't have a very large home. We have some of the largest homes in the whole world. Well, how do we pray this prayer again? Well, the fact is, it may be God's will in His providence to give us much more than our daily bread, and that's our experience too. But the point is, we do not pray for more than the basics. That's the point. The second angle that we can take toward this petition, the first one is what we ask for, bread. The second angle is when we ask to be provided for. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And by that he means today. Not then tomorrow. I don't pray, and you may not pray, for the provisions of this life for Monday or next week or next month or next year. Not praying about tomorrow. Why not? What would be so wrong with saying something, Lord, provide for us also tomorrow or next week? What's wrong with that is that underneath those words, there's a certain mindset or a heart of anxiety. That's often what's found beneath those words. I think here we can all really relate, can't we? It's hard not to wonder whether this growing bubble of our economy is going to pop or not in a couple of years, or even sooner than that. And when the paycheck comes in, and there is the tuition, and there is the budget, and groceries, and all of these things, and that paycheck becomes pretty divided out, and there's not a whole lot left, we think to ourselves, are we going to make it this month? It can be like that. It's hard not to think about the future and to try to get our hands into that. How's it going to go? And our minds spin and they go this way and that way. Jesus says, when you pray about tomorrow, that's often the mindset or the heart that lies below it is one of anxiety. Don't pray for that. Father, give us this day our daily bread, not Monday, but Sunday. Just today is what we're looking for and not ahead. And the reason that we pray for only this day is that there's also a mentality that lies below that. What's going on in our heart and in our mind when we pray only for today is dependence upon God. And that's the very opposite, isn't it, of the racing, anxiety-filled, worried mind. Dependence. Minute by minute sometimes, hour by hour, daily leaning upon God for what we need. Sometimes we say to each other, day by day. That's how you have to take it, day by day. And I like it when people say that. There's a lot of truth to that. Just today, step by step, constant, regular reliance upon God to provide me and us with what we need for our bodies. And why is that so important to pray only for today with that dependence underlying that? Because that's to the glory of God's name. Father, I'm not going to look ahead. I'm just going to look at Sunday and my daily bread for today, and I'm going to lean upon Thee for everything. And that to Thy praise. Here too, it may very well be that God, in His providence, gives us some things, and we have them days, even weeks, even months ahead, and we have things stored up. Maybe that God's pleased to do that in His providence, but again, the point we're making here is that we don't pray for tomorrow. I want to make a qualification here because we could get a wrong impression when Jesus teaches us to pray only for this day. He is not implying that we ought to be careless and lazy with regard to our work and our finances. In fact, if Jesus were to be teaching that, then he would be a contradictory instructor, because we know from Proverbs and we know from other portions of Scripture, we're called to work hard and to be careful and to be stewards with what we have. And the Catechism later on talks about our care, budgeting, saving, and so on, our industry, our working. Those things are not wrong in themselves, of course. That's Scripture's calling of us to work. And I think that has to be said in our day too, in which there is no careful budgeting. And there is no saving of money, it seems like. Just throw your money out to the wind. Spend it on everything, even if you don't have the money to back that up. And don't budget. Just do what you want. And we do live in a day of entitlement and laziness in which people simply don't work, or they don't work hard. I have money coming to me from the government or from some other source. In these days, we have to be reminded, when Jesus teaches us this petition, give us this day, he's not encouraging laziness and poor stewardship, but only this. He is implying about our life that we ought to budget and work and save and plan, but to do that without anxiety, relying upon him. That's the difference. You ask for bread. You ask for that bread today, not tomorrow. And the third angle we can take toward this position, this petition, is the amount of bread for which we ask. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, when you look at this petition, give us this day, and then give us this day our daily bread. This day and daily are not the same ideas. This day means give it to us today and not tomorrow. But daily has a little bit of a different sense, and it means this. Grant unto us that bread, Father, that is sufficient for our needs and our circumstances. Give to me bread for me and my family that will fit our life and what we're going through right now. Your daily allotment as a family may differ from someone else's daily allotment as a family. And even one family, what they're going through in one part of the year and the bread they need then is going to be different from what they may need at a different time in that very same year. And what we need as a congregation, even, and as families, is going to differ from people in other parts of the world. And so when we're praying this prayer, we're acknowledging, really, the providence and the wisdom of God. He's going to give me, and I'm asking him to give me, what I specifically need in my family. And he will do that in his wisdom. Perfect wisdom. Grant unto us what is sufficient for us today. Fourth angle that we take toward this prayer that Jesus teaches us is for whom we ask this bread. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Us. We already, when we were back in the address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, we learned there that we are to pray in the plural, Our Father which art in heaven. You may, if you want to, given the right circumstances, pray My Father, but Jesus says Our Father is the way we usually ought to do it. Father has many children, and these many children that Father have are also our spiritual siblings. And those children of the Father, those siblings that we have, are the elect, those for whom Christ died, the number of those who have been quickened by the Spirit of God. And when Jesus says, pray in the plural, really, our Father which art in heaven, he's not only saying that you and your siblings are coming before the throne of grace, that's true, but he's saying pray also for those spiritual siblings. Pray for them. And now as we've been marching through the Lord's Prayer, all of a sudden, here we come to that plural again. Give us this day our daily bread. We do. And we're going to do that when we get home too. You fathers regularly pray for the needs of your own family and your own body. And we may pray for our individual needs and the needs of our home. But when Jesus says us, he teaches us to widen out the scope from that. Not just for my home, but for these homes. I love Peace Protestant Reformed Church, and I want to pray for the other families that sit in these seats with me. And I remember when I come before the throne of grace, their material, physical needs too. Give them also, Father, what they need as to their daily bread. And our mind is also upon the saints worldwide, people that I've never even met, but I know that many of them are persecuted and that many of them go through a very hard way. Thy saints around the world, and especially those who are suffering, give to them what they need physically as well. That's what we're praying. That's a beautiful prayer. And what that implies, when you take that word us upon your lips, is that we ought to be givers too. A charitable, giving people. Has Father, in his wisdom and providence, given you much? If this is the level of daily bread, the basics, has he given you above that line? Then our calling here too, and it's implied in this petition, is that we would, in the love of Jesus Christ for each other, and in the mercy of Jesus Christ for each other, give. I remember once that's been criticized when I was growing up. Statements were made in sermons. We ought to bring cookies to each other and meals. And someone said, well, it's not just about bringing meals to each other, you know. And I realized that that's not an exhaustive treatment of the communion of saints and how we show that love to each other, but bringing physical things like meals, putting them in the freezer so that people can pick them up, and the work that our Helping Hands Committee does, and seeing when other people are down and out and giving to them. That is a part of the love that we express toward each other, and that expression, the communion of saints, I have a care for this family as to physical things too. That's what you're saying in this petition. It is true that what we do have here is a petition, that is, we're asking for something, but it's also an acknowledgement. I think you realize how that is. When I say this to God before his face and at his throne, give us this day our daily bread, in that very petition or prayer, I'm also acknowledging something. And the Catechism gives to us here a twofold acknowledgement that we make. And the first one is this, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. When you make this petition, you're acknowledging about God himself. He's like a fountain that sprays forth its crystal clear water, and out of that fountain, which is God, comes everything that you need of the physical necessities of this life. Which is to say, those things don't come from me. And they don't come from you either. And when I see all around me department stores and grocery places. And when I go to work and I get a daily wage and I plan and I budget, and when mom is busy in the kitchen, her hands making this and that meal, and when we remember the farmers in the field who sow and they harvest, all of these things, sometimes we can forget in our sophisticated society, what I have doesn't come from all those things. It doesn't even come, as to its ultimate source, from the ground from which the farmers grow the crops. That's not the source. And that's such a temptation to look at those things and say, that's where what I have comes from. And especially it's a temptation to look at our own hands and our own working and our diligence and industry and our planning and to become pretty self-sufficient. I think it's easier to become independent and to forget our God now than ever before in history, because there's so much around us. You remember God's warning to Israel? When you get to that promised land and you have an abundance of things there, land flowing with milk and honey, don't you forget for a moment. It's going to be easy to forget. I gave this to you. Such a temptation to look at our own hands and to forget the source. These things come from God. What I need for my soul, He is that same fountain there, and He's flowing up with that crystal clear stream of all the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ, and that stream runs through the cross and it drenches me every day. He's the source of all that I need spiritually, but here in this petition, we're acknowledging that He's the source, that fountain of all that we need, of our bread, our clothes, our health, everything. Yes, there are farmers. Yes, they're sowing and planting and harvesting in grocery stores, and mom works hard in the kitchen and so on. But those are means that God uses in His hands. Means, yes, but it all comes from Him. Spirit-filled, faith-given children, looking up to Father in heaven. It's all from Thee, Father, and Thou hast provided for me for Jesus' sake all that I need. All honor, praise, and glory be to Thee for that. That's what we're acknowledging. The second acknowledgement that we make is this, and that neither our care nor industry, there's that reference to planning and working and so on, that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. You ever wonder, children, when you say, bless this food and drink, for Jesus' sake, amen. Have you ever wondered what you're really saying when you say, bless this food and drink? Listen carefully, because you're going to hear that now. And we ought to understand that if we're praying that every day, Jehovah's blessing is His favor. His blessing is His grace. And He has that favor, that grace, that blessing upon His elect people. I've explained it this way before, but probably the easiest way for children to understand it is the smile of God's face upon His people. And that blessing can never be separated from Jesus Christ. It's always in Him and for His sake. He took on that curse which lay upon us. He took that upon Himself. And He bled and He died on that accursed tree of the cross. And He came there as he did all of his life, but especially on that accursed tree. He came there under the fierce, pounding wrath of God as the penalty for the sins that we committed. And for every pound of the wrath of God, for every beating of that, he responded with a perfect obedience and love for Father. Stood there in our place as our head, our representative. And the beautiful truth is that God's blessing is upon us in him, for his sake. It's like a river. This grace, this favor of God comes forth from the throne of God, and it goes down through the cross. It always has to go through the cross, and then it showers upon his people. When you say, "Give us this day our daily bread," you are acknowledging, and now let's take the words of the catechism on our lips, neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And the implication is that with his blessing, his gifts and the bread he gives and so on are truly profitable to us in every way. How important, in fact, the most important thing in all the world is that smile of God's favor. That's what you're saying. It's so important. We are Peace Protestant Reformed Church. And being a part of the Protestant Reformed Churches, we ought to know something of our origin. And if I asked you two words as to our origin, what was it controversy over? Then you should say common grace. That's a part of our origin. That's really the whole of it, our rejection of that heresy called common grace. And I bring up that point here because the catechism really refutes that error of common grace in this connection. Common grace is the teaching, the false teaching, that God has a grace. And when we use that word grace, we mean a non-saving favor. He has this non-saving favor upon all humanity, including the wicked. And God does not only give gifts like rain and sunshine, but he accompanies those gifts with that non-saving favor, and he does that even upon the wicked. That's the teaching of common grace. And I said that the Heidelberg Catechism really exposes that error here. I want you to notice how the Lord's Day makes a distinction between God's gifts on the one hand and his blessing on the other hand. They're not the same. They're to be distinguished. It says, "And that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing." Those two are distinguished from each other. The truth of the matter is, God does give gifts also to the wicked. That is, rain and sunshine and so on. But the truth of the matter also is this: although he gives gifts, he never accompanies that with his favor or his blessing upon the wicked. He gives his gifts accompanied with his favor only to the elect. And he gives his gifts to the wicked, but it's accompanied with his wrath. And that's why we read Psalm 73 this morning. As we were reading through the chapter, Asaph was complaining about that. I look at the wicked, and they seem to have it so good in this world, so smooth. And he was struggling with that. How can that be? And then he went into the sanctuary of God, and God made plain to him this truth, that all this prosperity in the world that the wicked enjoy on this earth is but slippery places, like a slip and slide, that they slide all the way down into destruction. God's wrath, and only his wrath, is upon the wicked. And thanks be to Him, in Jesus Christ, His favor is upon us. That is amazing and wonderful. And when you make this petition, to return to the point, you're acknowledging how important that blessing is. The petition has a number of implications to it. Let me just draw out one of those for us. When you pray this sincerely from your heart, that implies you have an inward contentment. This prayer arises out of contentment. How do we make this petition when we're filled with covetousness? When we want, when we crave so much more than the basic necessities of this life, how do we make that prayer then? And how do we say, give us this day our daily bread, when our belly is our God? I don't think it's going too much off the beaten path to warn against those two things. To be so absorbed with the things of this world and to want to gather to ourselves so much more than just bread, that we desire that. And even this, that our belly would be our God. It's one of those, I think, respectable sins in our society, that we almost worship food. Say again, when that's inside of us, how can we possibly make this petition? It can only arise out of a heart of contentment. Hebrews 13, verse 5, talks about that contentment, which is God's gift to us and worked by the Spirit of Christ. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Contentment is this Christ-worked attitude, looking at the things that I have right now today and saying about the kind of things that I have and also the measure in which I have them, this is enough. This is sufficient for me. And especially recognizing that Father in heaven has in His perfect wisdom given what I have and in the measure I have it, that's sufficient for me. And I can say that regardless of what I have or how much I have, and that too in relation to the neighbor. That's contentment. And I say again, this petition arises out of that. Think about it. You're only asking for bread. That's it. And the man, woman, or child who sincerely prays that is saying, I'm going to be satisfied with even the littlest portion, just the very bare bones, if the Lord should be pleased to give that to me. That's enough. We're content, regardless of the circumstances of our lives and what we have on this earth, knowing our salvation in Jesus Christ, and chiefly the forgiveness of sins. And even those sins in which I have had the wrong mindset for the things that I've had, and I've been greedy, and I've wanted more than my daily bread, and my God has been my belly, also those sins forgiven for Christ's sake. And we say, what a salvation we have. That's the thing that's never going to change. And I'm so rich in Christ. And the soul needs that I have, even the deepest of them, He's fulfilled. He's satisfied every single one, knowing that all-sufficient Savior and what He's done, content, no matter what I have. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, amen. Father, give to us that contentment more and more. We understand what the Scripture means when it says that this contentment must be learned, for we know that we fall far short. Work that in us by thy Spirit. Make us to know the great salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and grant that knowing that salvation and knowing thy sovereignty over our life and thy goodness to us and all things that thou dost do toward us, grant us to be satisfied with whatever our lot is, and teach us evermore to pray, and that with sincerity, give us this day our daily bread. Hear us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.